Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to episode 361 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode goes out to Arthur Mpofu. Thank you for coming to the show. What a night it was last night in Vancouver as the UFC Octagon finally returned to Canadian soil. It was an amazing night for the Canadians in the cage, amazing night for the Canadian on this podcast. I think the American on the podcast did all right as well, but yeah, fun night all around. I'm going to bring the American in right now without much for him to work with, which is always good because then you'll scramble. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby-Vreeland. Hello, what's up?
I think I had a good night, right? Like, yeah. I think I was 5-5 overall. You know, I'm burying the lead here, obviously. 5-5 overall, but massive underdogs as far as the eye can see, which you got to love.
Yep, we both made money. 5-5 is 6-4. 6-4 for me, but we both were up dollars with our underdogs and me with my prop pick. So yeah, pretty good night. And who could have seen Canada going 6-0? Definitely not Gumby, who faded every Canadian except one, I think.
Yeah, and he paid off for me as an underdog.
Wait a minute, that was all your losses were Canadians.
Yeah, all five losses. Unbelievable. My Canadian fades. And I don't know if I told you this ahead of time. I know I mentioned it in the Discord. If you had bet a parlay with all six Canadians, it would have paid plus $78.50. So a little bit over 78-1 if you had bet on all of the Canadians to win, which I'm hoping somebody out there did. If you're listening to this and you did anything even close to that, we want to see your winning tickets.
Yeah, no one's come forward yet. You'd think like that would be like a degenerates love doing fun little parlays like that. That would be like an obvious one you think someone would have done.
You would think so, but like, especially because it's Canada. They haven't been to Canada in a minute, you know?
I know. Yeah, fun night in the Discord as well. Thanks for everyone for making the Discord a fun place. If you're not in there already, get in now. Unless you're an asshole, then you're not allowed in there. Because it's all good people in there currently. It's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. But yeah, everyone was having a good time in there. I was even in there for most of the night too, which was a rarity. So there you go.
Yeah.
I think I was in there more than you, maybe, which is strange.
Towards the end of the night, for sure. Yeah, I was a little.
Don't be fussy.
Yeah, I was working a little harder in the beginning of the card, and then towards the end of one, I definitely didn't fall asleep because I stayed up not only for Amanda Nunes's pure domination, but also all of the post fight antics, which, by the way, is what's going to dictate most of our discussion about this fight at the end of it. It's not necessarily what she did in the cage because that was expected. It was dominant. It was exactly as I imagined. And I want to talk about the other stuff.
Well, good, because I didn't pay attention to any of the other stuff. So maybe not good. Maybe I won't be interested at all. We'll get to all the shenanigans and non-shenanigans after I tell you about Edge Boost. No shenanigans here. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. You could have made even more bank last night following our picks. That's what you could have done. Get down to some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. NFL season, everyone, coming up. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even a hedge. EdgeBoost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest. Do you know of a way you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? EdgeBoost can also be a part of a responsible gambling plan, as you can set up daily, monthly, or weekly. I skip weekly. Daily, weekly, or monthly limits across all your betting accounts in one place. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You signed up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast/EDGE. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. There were shenanigans, was there? Let me get this out of the way first. And then Gummy can tell you about shenanigans.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe nonsense. Is nonsense a better word?
Tomfoolery.
Okay. June, it was last night. Rogers Arena is where it all went down. We had 17,628 Canadians. I guess there's probably some non-Canadians as well. In attendance, 3.8 million gate. I believe that is in U.S. Money, more than usually they reported in American money. So if it's Canadian money, it's not as good for you guys. All right. Main event was Amanda Nunes totally dominating Irene Aldana, 50-44, 50-44, 50-43. I don't know if Aldana realizes the fight has started even now. Apparently she didn't know she was in a fight last night, because she did not show up at all. And then afterwards, Nunes retired, which will bring it to a unceremonious end to the featherweight division. Good riddance. Give us Adam Waite instead, please and thank you. And it also probably ushers in the Eileen Fiona Perez era in
that. I like that. Yep.
I had that in my head for a while. I had to get it out. Okay,
so
go ahead.
First and foremost, I do want to say I don't blame Irene Aldana for that performance. I just think she was outmatched in a violent way. Like, I don't think... Did she maybe get a little bit trigger shy? Yeah, maybe, because she was getting her face punched in and she got taken down anytime Amanda Nunes won. Amanda Nunes took her down twice in the first round and then didn't even follow her to the ground. She was like, yep. I'm just showing you that I can do this anytime that I want. It was kind of a mind fuck, to be completely honest. So yeah, Amanda Nunes, almost a little showy, which I kind of liked. But then as far as is like post-fight antics, a couple of things that were, one was that was hilarious, one that was like sad and hilarious at the same time. So John Anik, you know how John Anik's kind of an oversharer? He sometimes tells us things about fighters' lives.
It's true.
Have you seen, it's been making the rounds on Twitter as well. Have you seen what he said after the fight?
Nope.
He's like,
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's like, beautiful thing. Amanda Nunes finally retiring. Going to spend more time being a mom. That's her beautiful daughter, Reagan. And Nina is currently pregnant. And for those of you who are wondering, this baby has got the egg of Amanda Nunes in it. So this one will look more like her. And I was like, you are telling me about their in vitro fertilization. That's wild, dude. Like, who does that?
Massachusetts, that's who.
Yeah, he even dropped a joke in there like, some people give me shit for doing stuff like this. And I was like, yeah, dude, because it's weird.
Eggs.
Yeah, so that was the funny one. The not so funny one, the one that was kind of like sad in a pathetic way, not sad in a funny haha way, was, have you seen the clip of Juliana Pena trying to be a part of the post-fight interview?
No.
With Amanda Nunes?
I just heard her saying she's running from her and all that nonsense. We're never going to get rid of her, are we?
I don't think so. But apparently somebody had a camera on her as that was all going on, and she kept like responding to things Nunes said. And like, obviously Nunes isn't listening to her and doesn't give two shits about her in the first place. So she's like, don't compare yourself to Anderson Silva. Don't do it. And she's like in the process of doing it. So like, you're not going to stop her. And nobody can hear you except for this one dude who's got a camera on you. And then when everybody applauded for her, when she finally got off the mic and said, thank you, Juliana Pena booed. So it's like a whole, it was like an arena of, you know, like you just said, 17,000 people there or something like that.
Yep.
You know, cheering Amanda Nunes. And all of a sudden you just hear, boo. Boo. I'm like, You're so pathetic. This is not a rivalry. You think it is? It's not a rivalry. Nobody gives a shit about you, Juliana Pena. All we want is for you to not be the champion.
Well, don't worry. Raquel Pennington will make sure of that when they fight for the vacant belt coming up.
Did you hear the rumor of who might be fighting for it instead?
Please tell everyone.
Erin Blanchfield, up a weight class. Fantastic. I think she murders Pena. If they make her and Pena,
anyone at the top of that division. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, do I worry about size a little bit? Sure. Yeah. A little bit, but I don't know, man. She's a bulldozer. So, I think she could beat. I actually think Pennington would be a worse matchup for her than Juliana Pena is. Because I think her striking's already better than Pena's. Whereas Raquel Pennington is like, I mean, she's a bruiser. She's so tough. So, maybe we're about to enter the Raquel Pennington era.
Maybe we're going to belt enter women's bantamweight gets eliminated as well. Because that doesn't sound too.
I don't know. What if you told me 3 years ago that Leon Edwards was going to be the obvious champ at welterweight? Like,
at least there's like a million welterweight fighters. So, the problem with bantamweight is there's like, what, 20, 25 fighters. So
they've expanded a little bit. They've hired a couple new ones. They just hired Melissa Dixon, who I'm pretty high on. So, they're adding.
Yeah, it's true. Do you think that's where we're headed? Because Pena was supposed to be here and she had a pull out, and then Pennington was the backup. Not that the UFC does, you know, things like they're obviously the two most, why can't I think of a word?
Deserving.
Deserving. Yeah, it's a tough one, Jeff, to remember. They're the most two most deserving fighters to fight for the vacant belt. But that's not saying the UFC would necessarily do that. A deserving fighter does not always get a title shot. So what
I think it's
going to happen?
I think it's got to be Holly Holm versus Jermaine Durandamy, does it not?
Holly Holm is fighting again soon. That's the only thing saving us, is Holly Holm already has a fight scheduled, unless they're going to wait till she's done.
Who's she fighting?
Moira Buena Silva as a main event. 5 rounds of it, Dan.
Huh. That's interesting.
You're excited about that, aren't you?
All right. On that note, why don't we talk about
Get rid of bantamweight. I told you. Lightweight.
Let's not propose getting rid of divisions other than featherweight. Let's work on getting rid of featherweight and stopping pretending it actually has ever existed. And let's just go ahead and add a weight.
Yeah, all those fighters can cut 40 pounds and fight an atomweight now. Deal. All right, so we have both at noons at minus 315. Charles Oliveira, Chucky came through, plus 126 for us. And this is something we probably both said on the podcast. I definitely wrote it in my previews for the event on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com, and on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I said that Dariush gets hit too often and too hard, just doesn't have the greatest chin, and I wouldn't be surprised if Oliveira caught him, and that's pretty much what happened. He caught him and then caught him a whole bunch more times to finish it off via TKO punches, 4-10 in the first round.
I said it on Thursday. Drakkar Klose almost knocked out Beneil Dariush.
Right.
What makes us think that the guy who stood toe-to-toe with Dustin Poirier and toe-to-toe with Justin Gaethje and stunned both of them on the feet couldn't then also do the same to Beneil Dariush? In retrospect, this is one of the most exploitable lines I've ever seen in recent memory. Like, this is one of the ones I was on the right side of it. I feel good about being on the right side of it. I wish I edge boosted up and went about twice as high as I did.
Yeah, no doubt. And the UFC once again has matchmaked themselves into a corner. So now we have to get Oliveira versus Makhachev, which we already saw at Oliveira got outclassed in. There you go. They do this very often. They hope a guy wins and he doesn't win.
Do you think there's any chance though that the Oliveira we saw in there against Makhachev was just like a kind of like the Amanda Nunes loss to Juliana Pena? Yeah. Could it just be one of those moments? Maybe not as drastic, but maybe.
Yeah. Still, I believe the line has. Have you seen the line yet? Because I think I got an email with the line for the rematch. Have you seen it, or you want to guess what it would be? Makhachev, Oliveira 2.
Man, if I had to guess on that one, let me think about this for a second. It's got to be Makhachev minus 275.
started at minus 400 and then it's down to minus 350 for Makhachev.
Okay. I'm not that far off on where it is now.
No. What are the chances of one of their fancy big name lightweight fighters stepping in here instead, cutting the line? You know, a Poirier, a Gaethje, a Chandler, McGregor, one of those ilk.
0%.
All right, good. Let's hope so. Let's hope so. All right. Before we move on, we just told you about an underdog that we hit, and I'm going to tell you about Underdog Fantasy because they are part of the family once again. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes, plus plenty of ways to win with NBA, NHL, and MLB with their player prop parlays. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Forget about this pick, Dan. Forget about it. Adam Fugit got outclassed by Mike Malott, as I predicted and hoped. The top Canadian on the card at welterweight. Malott, submission, guillotine choke, 106 in the second round after he knocked down Fugit, hurt him on the feet, finished him off with a submission. He hurt him multiple times on the feet. So Malott keeps on rolling. I had him at minus 195, looking like he's a little bit older, a little bit longer in the tooth. So the time is now for him, for sure, based on his lack of experience too. But hopefully you can get him another fight quickly and keep moving him up the ladder here.
Yeah, not much to say other than he looked a lot faster. I think that's probably the most overlooked part of this fight for me is I thought Fugit was longer and he was going to have a wrestling advantage, which I still kind of think he has a wrestling advantage. But he's just so much slower. That wound up being the difference maker.
All right, so I got that one over on Gumby. The next one he got over on me. They are, I've said it before, it's not an original thought, that there are levels to this game. Nate Landwehr is not on the same level as Dan Ige. He showed it last night. He was game. He's a dangerous fighter, but in terms of skill, he's not on Dan Ige's level. At featherweight, Ige, 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. I had Landwehr as a big underdog. Gumby came through with Ige at minus 250 because he's from Honolulu, Massachusetts. So probably the last time I'm going to fade Rob Font for a little bit.
I forgot that you thought he looked like Rob Font. Rob Font's got a fight booked, by the way.
Oh, who's he fighting?
I don't know. Hang on. I saw it in...
Didn't he just fight Nate Landwehr?
He did not. You might be surprised to find. Hang on. We'll put the intern on it. Rob Font. Do you know Rob Font's first name is Robert? He's fighting Sonya Dunn. He's fighting Sonya Dunn.
Ah, interesting. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think about the other Rob Font that fought last night?
Same thing. Just way too fast. And he's way craftier than Nate Landwehr, who's just out there landing bombs. And that's kind of what I said in the breakdown, too. You know, fun fight, but like, you know, Nate Landwehr is a guy who throws bombs. And if he doesn't land one, he's going to lose most of the time.
It totally came down to skills. Like, Ige was just better. He's just a better fighter, period.
Yeah, much better.
Yep. And then in the opener, Marc-Andre Barrio kept the Canadians undefeated, took care of Eric Anders. This fight, pretty much what we expected. Both guys are tough as nails. Don't get finished. So it was a bit of a slugfest. It was a fight of a night winning slugfest. 30-27, 30-27, 30-27 for Barrio. It was a closer fight than that, for sure. Both men had their moments, but I think Serge basically hurt Anders Mar with his shots, visibly hurt him. So I think that's why Power Surge came through for us here. Surge Productor, I mean, excuse me.
Well, you had Marc-Andre Barrio. I had Eric
Anders. That's right. You had Eric Anders. I'm sorry.
I only picked one Canadian.
It's true.
And Eric Anders, it was kind of frustrating because, you know, we joked before, which Eric Anders is going to show up? Is it going to be the really good one who just beat the hell out of Kyle Daukaus? Is it going to be the shitty one who has some of those really ugly losses? And the funny thing is, like, 4 minutes of every round was the good one, and it still wasn't enough. Because, like, when the bad one
cracked.
Yeah, when the bad one showed up at the end of every round, he got cracked and lost the round just based on that exchange. Because Marc-Andre Barrio really cracked him. So kind of upsetting that one.
Yep. So that concluded the main card. I went 4-1. Gummy went 3-2. We hit an underdog, so it was a good main card. This next fight was very disappointing. Chris Curtis is really, I don't know about you, but he's really fallen out of favor with me and with our Discord, even heading into last night.
I think he's getting a bad rap on this. I gotta
maybe for this one, yes, but it's just his whole attitude.
I gotta be a Chris Curtis apologist here. All right. So first of all, no contest, accidental clash of heads. I'll read the result. Yeah. Nassori Dimavov came in, dropped his head. Chris Curtis got hit in the eyeball. 2 minutes, or second round, 3 minutes and 4 seconds into it. Look, he has a giant gash. He got 10 stitches on his eyelid and he has a corneal abrasion. Like, and when the ref went to call the fight, he begged him not to. He said, give me 2 more minutes. I will get it to work and I will fight through it. And then one of the doctors came in and was like, nah, you're done, dude. And like, even he even got the guy who came in to check his eyes to say yes. And then the cut man came in and was like, nah, dude, this cut is toast. Because you can't put Vaseline in the cut in the middle of a round. You can only do it at the end of a round. I think if that happens at the end of a round, he probably still keeps going. So I know he maybe said some words that made the ref get close to calling it anyway. But like he never was going to be able to continue with that cut above his eye. And he really tried to. So I get the frustration. It's especially frustrating for me as a Nassori Dimavov better who knew Imavov was just absolutely tooling on Chris Curtis in that fight. But I also think we're just being way too hard on Chris Curtis.
Yeah, I would never say fighter was faking, and I never did say that in the Discord. But yeah, it was quite frustrating for everybody in the Discord who had Imavov money, and he was cruising, and Curtis had no path to victory. Basically, it was going exactly the way that we had expected it to go. I'm not saying he was faking either, but he did say multiple times that he couldn't see, and that's fighters know that is if you say that, the fight's going to be over. I just wish there was, wouldn't have been a no contest. I figured since they had done more than, I forgot it was 2 rounds they had to fight.
It's gotta be two full. Yep.
Yeah. I figured since we were past the halfway mark, they should have gone to the judge's decision, but anyhow, it was all for naught. I think both guys are going to move on. I think the UFC usually treats these things like the fighter who won actually won. So I'm sure Imavov will be elevated once again. And Curtis, like I said, heading into this, we've seen his ceiling, I think. And it's not fighting against ranked fighters. So
I think his ceiling is higher at welterweight. I think
he went back. Can you get to welterweight? I know he's super short, but he's a muscly dude.
He fought most of his career at welterweight. He fought his last fight before he came into the UFC at welterweight.
He's an old man now though. He's in his 30s for God's sake.
He has only been in the UFC for 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
Yep. He beat Kenny Robertson by decision in July of 2021. So not even 2 years ago. And that one was at welterweight. And when he came to the UFC, he only fought at middleweight because they were like, we got a short notice fight for Phil Hawes. Can you do it? And then after that, he was like, whatever, I'm winning here, so I might as well stay. Well, now he's not winning there. So, like, can if he can go back down, do you mean to tell me that you might not pick Chris Curtis to be Max Griffin? Would you pick Max Griffin unabashedly to be? I wouldn't. Yeah. And Max Griffin is Max Griffin's probably number 18 in the world at middleweight. Right. Or.
And he fits good in welterweight. He fits like right in that Max Griffin, Nico Price.
Oh, I love a fight with him and Nico Price.
Yeah, he fits. Or what's the guy? Alex Morano. He fits right in with those guys.
Sign me up for him and Alex Morano.
See?
I'd watch that tomorrow. You know, yeah. And like,
all right, I'm on board again, Dan. You sold me.
There you go. And I'll say this, like, there's also ranked welterweights I think he could beat. So as far as saying his ceiling is not ranked, like, I don't know that I'd count him out against Vicente Luque. I don't know that I'd count him out against Neil Magny. Even somebody like Jeff Neal, who doesn't have like a big wrestling threat, I think he could probably throw with him, depending on how he looks at welterweight. But, you know, I like to think the ceiling is still there for Chris Curtis and it could go higher.
Notice I said ranked. I said ranked middleweights. So I got my, gave myself an out there, Dan.
There you go. Yeah, I heard.
This is a train I am still on, and I was on heading into the fight. Jasmine Jasudovicius scored my biggest. This is my biggest underdog hit since our friend at +300.
Lauren Murphy over Misha Tate.
No, I didn't have her. No,
you didn't have Lauren. No, we all had Lauren Murphy over Misha Tate.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody
yeah,
and their cousin yeah. had it on the Discord. Yes. Yeah.
No, who the guy he fought just got what's his name? Dan?
Andre Petrosky.
Andre, yes. Andre Petrosky. He was our big 300. Yeah, this is my biggest hit since then.
Was that when he beat Nick Maximoff?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was such a joke line.
Gumby's trying to change the subject. Jasudovicius +250. I hit that. Jasudovicius by decision, I hit that +340. I wrote a lot about the Canadians because I'm starting to do some more Canadian coverage on my Substack, Money MMA. But she being Jasmine is slow and plodding on the feet, but she used her length well last night, and then her offensive and defensive grappling was just miles ahead. Maravic is her new name. She's from somewhere in Eastern Europe. Miranda Maverick, disappointing. We were high on her. I don't think I can be high on her anymore.
I'm starting
especially after last night.
Yeah, I'm starting to worry that like she's maybe not what I thought she was. You know, like
when 29-28, excuse me, across the board for Double J. Dominated every aspect of this fight. Go ahead.
When she came in, I really thought she was like I thought she was like the Walmart brand version of Erin Blanchfield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like not as good at her in anything, but I thought she was. She still had that dominant grappling and physicality, and she just doesn't. You know what I mean? And like, no, and I don't want to take anything away from Jasudovicius because like she looked good too, but like it really looked like Maverick just wasn't strong enough or technical enough to do anything, and that's maybe alarming. Do you think Jasudovicius is a top 15 flyweight?
She's I wrote that she's definitely getting close. I think by the end of the year she could be. She probably it's not like we have a stacked division with a whole bunch of quality and quantity. So she's on her way for sure. I don't know. She's probably right the next five or so, maybe top 20 at this point. I'm not sure. I'm not on the official committee like you are, but I think she probably needs to get one more win under her belt, which who's to say couldn't happen. She beat a much younger, more hyped fighter last night and like dominated her. Like there
yeah.
I know it was 29-28, but she pretty much was in control the whole fight.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I haven't sent in my official picks this week. I got to do my homework on Sunday nights and set it up and vote Tuesday. But I vote Monday rather. I just don't think she's quite there yet, but she's damn close.
No, for sure. And with Maverick, maybe a 5-3 out flyweight doesn't work after all. Because she just seems to be totally outsized in these fights.
There's no way she makes it to fly or strawweight though.
No.
I think it can work. I just think she has to be way better at wrestling. Because she can't.
There were some real bad attempts at takedowns last night.
Yeah, and like she got stuffed real hard. Yeah. And if you're gonna get stuffed like that, like And that's pretty much your only in because you're 5'3". It's not like you're going to outbox people at 5'3". So if that's your thing, it's got to really fucking be your thing.
Yep. You can't be having like a jiu-jitsu style takedowns. You can't be Mackenzie Dern with your takedowns. You actually have to be a wrestler. So we'll see. But Jacinta Vicious onward and upwards for her. Same with Eamon Zahabi. This was a nice one. Hopefully, since it only took him 1:04 to knock out Eric Keelang with punches, hopefully this means we can get him back in the cage right away again, because this guy needs work and he needs a lot of work quick. Because he's another – that was pretty much the story of this card. There's a whole bunch of Canadians, not a lot of experience, but they're all, like, already well into their, like, mid-30s, early to mid-30s. So they need work, and they need work now. But so I became through +110 for us. I also had written that I liked him via knockout. So that was another nice hit for me here.
I had that as well. Knockout. Yes. Yeah, I shared that in the Discord. Is it criminal that he doesn't wind up with a performance of the night bonus here?
Yeah. Pretty much. Did every finish get one?
Every finish got one and one. And
this was basically a walk. Maybe it was because he thought it was a walk off and it wasn't. I don't know. But yeah, he should have got it for sure.
And one non finish got a performance.
Right. That's right. Coming up,
which we'll talk about in a second. So like. Yeah. And they gave 3 performance of the night bonuses.
Yep.
So what's stopping us from giving a fourth? Like, shouldn't Eamon Zahabi been taken care of here? And I'm not just saying that as somebody who enjoys Eamon Zahabi, both in interviews and because he gives me shout outs in other interviews. But, he looked good. I said this before, like, people sleep on how good his hands are, and his jiu-jitsu is good too. Not that we had to go there, but his jiu-jitsu is good. So, good one for Eamon.
For bantamweight, he can really, really crack. So I'm hoping they, get him in, get him moving up the rankings, get him 3 fights a year and see what the kid can do. Because he's not really much of a kid at this point. He's 35 or something that?
So. He's older than me, so.
Yep, time to get going, especially at bantamweight. All right, featherweights.
Speaking of time to get going.
Boy, this was the biggest surprise of the night for all of us. I favored this Canadian, Kyle Nelson, and he saved his UFC career last night, or with some help from his opponent, Blake Builder. Kyle Nelson won 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. Basically, the story of the fight was Builder showboating instead of putting his foot down on the gas when he probably could have finished the journeyman Nelson, but he did not, and Nelson came through as a big, big underdog. Maybe we had him a little too overhyped since he had only had one UFC fight under his belt at this point. He did not look so hot last night. Nelson came through at +200. So we did not have it, by the way.
We might have had him a little bit overhyped, but I'll also say this. He's better than Kyle Nelson, right?
Yes, it's true. Right. Yeah.
He's just a better fighter than him. So I don't hate the pick at the end of the day, because I said that Blake Builder was a better fighter. I still to this day believe he's a better fighter. All he had to do was fight. And then he would have shown that he was a better fighter, and he didn't do that, and kind of threw the way of the fight. So not much to say here other than an incredibly frustrating fight from Blake Builder.
Maybe a future in Capoeira for him, you think?
I mean, I just think, like, he's going to learn from this. He's a little bit older. He's 32. It is his first loss ever. Sometimes people need that, like, oh, man. Like, we saw that with Manel Cape, right? Right. Manel Cape put on some real stinker performances and then was like, oh, hey, if I just go punch all of these guys really hard, I'll win all of these fights. And now he's like, he's steamrolling people, right? He looks like a killer in there. So, maybe that happens to Blake Builder. Who's to say? But it can't be like it was last night.
Nope. This was the part of the night where I thought, oh, boy, it's going to be one of those nights for me. I'm not going to be making any money, but luckily turn around because I had David Dvorak. He did not come through either. In flyweight, Steven Ursic, deserved win for him. 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. He looked real good in this fight. Not that Dvorak really looked bad, but Ursic looked better. And Ursic is the one who won performance of the night despite not finishing him. So that shows how good he really looked. Short notice UFC debut. That's one the main reason I faded him. Plus, he was fighting a ranked fighter. But Dvorak, 3 straight losses, that could be the end of him in the UFC. But back to Ursic, I get a little less funky Tim Elliott vibes from him. Am I on to something there or not?
You might be. I think he hits hard. I think he hits harder, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. Just the way he mixes his grappling and everything, it reminded me of Elliott. Obviously not as weird.
Yeah, he was hard to hit, though. You got to give him that. And the pressure was Tim Elliott-esque. I think his power on the feet is going to be a big difference maker because, you know, I already said his jiu-jitsu is really good. We saw it, actually, when Dvorak shot a takedown and he, like, shucked it, got right to the back. Then he realized he was, like, too high up on the back and basically just dismounted and started boxing again. Like, very good awareness, very good jiu-jitsu, and he can knock you out. So that's, like, I mean, he's the whole package at flyweight right now. I mean, that's got to put him in the top 10, I think, a win like that.
Maybe. 5'9", too, which really showed last night. He's going to be one of the biggest flyweights that's going to be in there.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. He's catapulted himself into one of my guys territory.
Oh yeah, Gumby had him at, he was one of your plus ones, wasn't he? Because plus 250. Yes, right. We both hit a plus 250. Different 250s. That's how rare is that? Plus 200 dogs do not come through basically ever, and we hit two different ones. Plus, Usyk looks like that actor Jake Gyllenhaal in that picture on his picture on Tapology. By the way,
sure, I'll allow it.
All right, and in the opener, the curtain jerker, as they say, women's strawweights, Diana Balbicha, the Romanian-Canadian, came through for Team Canada, got the ball rolling over Maria Oliveira, 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. This was not fight of the night. not surprisingly, this was about as low-level MMA as you're going to see in the UFC. It was pretty bad. Balbicha, every strike exchange, she drops her head and leads with it, which is gonna get her in trouble if she doesn't get that cleaned up. But she's, you know, active and willing striker, which basically is all it took to beat Maria Oliveira, who we had at minus 105.
Yeah, well, and we had it. I will say I was happy for everybody in the Discord because a whole bunch of people in the Discord had some money on Balbicha. And good on them because Oliveira came out looking about 30 times worse than she ever has before.
Yeah, that's saying something.
What was with her not staggering her stance? Like, she just stood square the whole fight and just kept getting hit. And then somewhere around 13 minutes into the fight, she realized what we had all realized for the first 13 minutes, what you mentioned, that Balbicha just dips her head and dips her head and dips her head. And then she threw 13 straight jump knees.
Eventually one's going to hit, right? Spamming jump knees. It's like playing a video game.
She looked like a video game out there, except for a video game would have been in a staggered stance.
It's true. Maybe her button got, you know, sometimes the button gets stuck down on old controllers. Yeah. If you still pop in it, maybe that's what happened. The X button was jammed.
Yeah, that's the trigger. That's some Mountain Dew Code Red or some Mr. Pibb.
Exactly. That wasn't around when I was a kid, but yeah. Okay, I'll accept it. Oliveira, we're cutting her, right? Dvorak, he's probably getting axed too.
I think Dvorak's staying.
Because he was ranked. This is a problem with you guys that do the rankings. He had lost two straight fights, and yet he was still number 10 at flyweight.
Look who he lost to.
That's an issue.
He lost to two top five guys.
Fine. You don't want to fire people? Fine. We're not going to fire. We're going to fire Maria Oliveira, though, right? Is that it? That's the only person we're going to fire off this card? I think
that's the only one I'm going to fire.
Eric Keeling. They were saying his name differently, weren't they? They were saying Cheeling. Arachi Lang. That's right. Nah, he had won two straight. All right. He's safe too. All right. Maria Oliveira getting the axe. UFC, it is axing season in the UFC because Contender Series is coming up and they are just like every week, it's like 5 to 8 fighters seem to be getting the axe off the
They're rack. They're cleaning house for sure.
Cleaning house to get those 10,000 to win, 10,000 to show fighters onto the roster. So, all right. That concluded the action. Marc-Andre Power Barrio beat Eric Anders, and that was the fight of the night. Then we had Charles Oliveira, Mike Malott, and Steven Usyk as the performance of the night bonuses. As for us, I went 6-4, but I was up $243. Dan went 5-5, yet he was also about 58 bucks. So on the year, I'm at 60% still hit rate. Dan's at 54. Our fancy plays, Dan lost his lock in Imabov because he ended up no contest.
I'm counting that as a win.
That's a push.
I'm gonna go ahead and count it as a win.
I'm not in the official records, but fine. Moral victory. But then he lost on Anders as an underdog, lost on Nunes via submission.
She could have subbed her anytime she wanted.
Yeah. She was playing with her food. She's a lioness. She's allowed to play with her food if she wants. I my lock actually did lose. It wasn't an old contest. Blake Builder, that did not look so hot picking him. But then I had Zahabi as an underdog hit that. Jesuda Vicious as my prop bet inside the, not inside the distance. That never happens with her. Decision plus 340. So I hit both of those. So let me see. Locks, Gumby is at 76%. He's up 15% money wise. So he's still good there. And then props, we are both up. I am up 19%. You're up 8%. So props is where the money is, apparently, Dan.
Because I've been telling you that for years. Now
it's true, and I never play it. And now that you force me to play it, I'm making money. So there
you're good. You're good at it. And speaking of making money, it is time for our Edge Boost Double Down Play of the Day. So, first of all, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. So if you are thinking about trying to get ahead on your futures for MMA or trying to pick a fight down the road and you don't want a whole bunch of money tied up on it, think about using Edge Boost. And I would suggest using that Edge Boost Double Down Play of the Day to get in on that June 24th card, because right now I'm seeing in certain places Amanda Ribas is only negative 170 against my hated Macy Barber. So that means before it balloons up to minus 3,000, because me and Jong dumped an ungodly amount of money on Amanda Ribas, get in on it now. And the only way that you could do that is using it. Edge Boost. Once again, my Edge Boost Double Down Play of the Day. Amanda Ribas, negative 170. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgambling.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
New nickname alert. My hated Macy Barber. Courtney DeGumby. No more future barber. She's my hated barber.
That's it.
Fantastic. All right. That is it for this card, but the UFC rolls on. We're in, 12 weeks? We're in the midst of a 12 straight week UFC stretch. I'm not complaining about that.
It's a fun one next, too. In the
All right, if Gumby says so, I'll let everyone be the judge of it. I will run over it quickly. It is called UFC on ESPN, Vettori versus Cannoneer.
It's UFC Armenia.
It's true. Our friend Ryan in the Discord is loving this one. He's making Armenian parlays. This is happening next Saturday at the UFC Apex. Main event, middleweights, Marvin Vettori, Jared Cannonier, five rounds there. Then we got Armin Sarukian, Joachim Silva, Armin Petrosian, there's the other Armenian, Christian Leroy Duncan, Pat Sabatini, Lucas Almeida, Manuel Torres, Nicholas Mota, Haoni Barcelos, Miles Johns, that opens the main card. Prelims, Nicholas Dalby, Muslim Solikov, Jimmy Flick, Alessandro Costa, Kyung Ho Kang, Christian Quiñones, Carlos Hernandez, and Dennis Bonder. Chalgas Chumagulov, Felipe Bunes, right? Or Boons?
Bunes.
I did it right. Teresa Bleda, Gabriela Fernandez, Dan Arjueta, Hani Lawrence, we'll call him, Zach Paunga, Modestus Bukauskas. Other than the Armenian slant to it, what else can you tell us quickly before we're out of here?
Oh, I love Bukauskas. I love him being back in the UFC. Felipe Bunes, fun LFA guy making his debut. Pat Sabatini trying to rebound from his first loss in the UFC. Kyung Ho Kang is surprisingly fun all the time. I watch him too. Money to be made. So that's the most important thing.
Just like E. Spencer Kite, Gumby, he always brings some positivity when we're previewing these cards, right?
That's right.
You must be Canadian secretly. I must be the American. So this is all happening next Saturday. We're not going to wait till Saturday to talk to you. Don't worry. Tomorrow, Monday, we're going to be back. We're going to cover Gumby's favorite promotion. Everyone who listens knows about that. We might sneak some PFL in too, but it'll be Gumby's favorite promotion, Bellator, who actually, even in Gumby's eyes, probably estimate this is a pretty solid card for a Bellator card, right?
It's all right. It's better than PFL. It's stringing together crap with all of their drug abusers.
Oh, yes. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow too. See how Gumby did with his picks. I didn't even end up watching that. It's on my PVR still, but I didn't get to watching PFL. So, so next tomorrow we will be previewing a 46-year-old in the main event of a title fight in Bellator tomorrow. So that should be fun. It's not your normal 46-year-old. Don't worry. All right. In the meantime, I told you about the Discord. Get in there. Have some fun with us. Where else are we? We're at Twitter. We're on Twitter. SGP and MMA. Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer are the handles to follow. All the good stuff. SportsGamblingPodcast.com. If you want more of Gumby and less of me, then go to Top Turtle MMA. Obviously, that's the go-to place. If you want those two things, which most people do, and I told you about my Substack, subscribe, enter my pick'em contest, all that fun stuff. We'll be back tomorrow to break down Bellator, lovely Bellator. Who will be on the show tomorrow? You might wonder. It'll be me, L Animal, Jeff Fox, along with my hated Gumby Vreeland. He'll be there too. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.